Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word through the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and the title of today's show is In All Thy Ways. We're going to talk today about finding and doing the will of God. My thanks in advance to Jerry Shirley at Grace Baptist Church for a large part of this message. Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The question I am most often asked above all others is, how can I know what God's will is for my life? First of all, getting on board with God's plan for your life is an act of faith. If you want to find God's will, you first have to put your trust into God, not in your own plan. In your heart, you have to answer the question, can God be trusted? Am I willing to let Him guide my life, no matter what He says to do? In the Old Testament, we have an example of a man and even a family of faith. God told Noah to build a big boat large enough to hold two of every kind of animal. Noah had faith. He was obedient, and he started building the boat, an ark, on dry land. There was no large body of water for miles. He was preparing for a flood, and he and his family were laughed at by everyone around them. But Noah trusted God, and he built on faith. God told the animals to go to the ark when the time came 120 years later. 120 years, people laughed at him and made fun of him and his family. Oh, there's the crazy guy building a boat. And God told Noah and his family to get in the ark, and God himself shut the door. Noah was in the will of God, because God, when God called him to do something, Noah was faithful to do what God told him to do. He didn't go on with his own plan. He did what God asked him to do. Noah practiced the very definition of faith given in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A student pilot was taking his first solo flight. He thought he'd done pretty good during the flying lessons, but now he was up there all by himself. And everything was going okay until he came to the place where he had to land the plane. So he found the runway, and his teacher was on the radio on the ground instructing him. He nosed the plane down rather sharply toward the runway, and then he heard the instructor say over the radio, "Correct your attitude." The student pilot was thinking, "My attitude? What's wrong with my attitude? My attitude is just fine." The voice comes more urgently, "Correct your attitude. What's wrong with my instructor? There's nothing wrong whatsoever with my..." And then the crash hit. 2 weeks later, he wakes up in the hospital, and his instructor's there. He had the flight manual opened and a definition underlined. Attitude, the plane's inclination toward the earth. What is your attitude? Is your attitude to go up to God by faith and trust Him? The proper attitude is having trust. I'm going God's way, regardless of what others do. No matter what everybody around me says, no matter how much people make fun of me for what God tells me to do or for how long, I'm going to do it His way. Joshua had that commitment when he was surrounded by pagan believers. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Get in the boat. Trust God with your life and with your plan. He is trustworthy. How many of you want to succeed? How many of you know that true success is finding and doing God's will? Do you want your steps to be ordered by the Lord? Do you want God to guide you and direct your path? I know many of you are saying yes, because I get many, many emails on this subject. Do you think that God was surprised when you were born? Do you think he looked at you and said, "Who's that?" He didn't. The Bible says that before you were born, God knew you. God knows who you are, and he knows why he put you here. You are not an accident. There are some people who argue and say, when God made me, he made a big mistake. My life has no meaning. And there are other people that get mad at God. They refuse to get in the boat. So they just drift through life going nowhere. Without God in your life has no ultimate purpose. You can only know God's plan by accepting him as your guide and master of your life. God provides the ship of his salvation and grace. It's available, but we have to get in the boat and we have to set the sails. We have to take some initiative. God gives us many promises in the Bible, y'all. But many of them say, if you do this, I'll do this. Many of them have conditions. When you meet these conditions, I'll give you this. So it's important to know the Word of God so you know what's your part and what's God's part. It's incorrect to think that God hands you his will without any effort on your part. One high school graduate said he was praying for a summer job so he could attend a Christian college. And when asked where he was going to apply for a job, he said, "Nowhere. If God wants me to work, he'll send me a job." That attitude makes about as much sense as walking across the corner of two busy roads with your eyes closed and saying, "God wants me to make it across, he'll see that the cars miss me." There are natural laws in effect, y'all. If you jump off a cliff, gravity's going to pull you down to the ground. Can I just tell you that? You can't say, "Oh, if God wants me to get good grades, then it's up to him to see I get them." No, it's not. It's up to you to study and pay attention in class. We can't put results off on God and call them lack of action on his part when it's lack of action on ours. That's just misplaced blame if you're blaming God for everything and you're not doing your part. Or knowing what your part is, because it's your responsibility also to know what is your part and what's God's part. Can I tell you that? When we give our life to Jesus, instead of saying, "Why am I here?" we need to start saying, "I am here and I am his." And even as the scripture says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." A sailboat rudder is useless while the sails are down. It's up to you to set the sails and get going. You can't go any direction until the wind fills the sails. God provides the wind. Then when the wind changes, be ready to come about. God may have to change your course, but when he does, at least you have the momentum for it. Some people refuse to alter their course even when they know that God is making it clear it's time to go in a new direction. Okay, so let's go back to our scriptures. In order to be in the will of God, I have to find and know the will of God. And the only way to find and know it is in God's way, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means all your heart, completely, entirely. Lean not to your own understanding. That means don't even think about what you think about something. You don't need to have an opinion about it. Just set your heart to trust God and let him guide. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's something we have to ask about. And I'm going to explain that more because God gave me some revelation about that today. What does it mean to trust God entirely? To acknowledge his lordship in every area of your life. We can divide God's will into two parts: God's personal will for your life and God's moral will for your life. It is impossible to zero in on God's personal will for your life if you are living in rebellion to his moral will for you. Can I just tell you that? In other words, it's more important to God what you are than what you do. And what you are is much more important than where you are. So we start with that. God's moral will. God's moral will for us is oftentimes spelled out for us in his word very clearly spelled out. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of and I cannot pronounce that word, even as the Gentiles which know not God. After salvation comes sanctification. It is God's will that we live holy lives. Sanctification is basically you get the sin and the bad stuff out of your life. When you live a sanctified life, that's a holy life. It's when you're doing doing the thou shall and not doing the thou shalt nots, basically. Some people, I've heard Christians before say, well, this is just my nature. No, it's not. It's Satan's nature is what it is. Can I tell you that? Somebody that's caught up in sexual sin, well, this is just my nature. Nope. It's Satan's nature, and you better get it out of you if you want to have God in your life. And if you want to walk in his will for your life, you have to get rid of that. God never says, have it your way. He says, this is my way. And if you're going to have anything, you're going to do it my way. You will never be able to zero in on God's personal will for your life as long as you are harboring sin and living in rebellion in an area of your life. And sin is rebellion. Sin is rebellion to the truth. It is rebellion to the Word. So that's what we mean by we must acknowledge His Lordship over every area of our lives. Even the parts we don't want to give up. If you got any of those, think about that. Not talking about sinless perfection, because only Jesus can do that, all right? Only Jesus could do that. But we can do our best. As long as we are doing our best, and I do mean do your best, not just pretend you're doing your best, and you know what I'm talking about. Because if you allow sin to stay in your life, it won't just stay, it will multiply. One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to make a decision regarding God's personal will for your life when you know you have willful sin in your life. Willful sin is an idol, and any time you have an idol in your life, you cannot hear clearly from God. Can I just tell you that? It short circuits the communication between you and God, and that alone is a lot of the reason why a lot of people do not hear clearly from God. God doesn't give you His will so you can just think about whether you want to do it or not. That's not the way that works. He tells you His will when He knows you are ready and willing to step into it. I used to say it this way, those who fear, hear. If you fear God enough, if you reverence His mighty power enough, and if you love Him enough, then when He tells you to do something, you're going to say, yes, Lord, and you're going to start doing it. Why would He reveal His personal will to you if you're blatantly and repeatedly violating His moral will? Those are the simple rules, y'all. The moral stuff is the simple stuff. Why would He direct your paths when you are purposefully and rebelliously doing what He's already told you not to do, and you're just continuing in that path? You're already showing Him the way you want to go. Are you rebelling against God in some area of His moral will? Tithing, or just basic morality, fornication, faithlessness, unforgiveness, priorities, your pride, bitterness, gossip, prejudice. There's so many ways, y'all. Lust. Allowing wrong associations and ungodly counsel in your life. If you want to know God's will for you, then you got to clean up your act. It's really that simple. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay, that's the first step in finding the will of God. Okay, now, I want you to picture, let's say, a bicycle wheel. There's two kinds of Christians listening to me right now. The first kind, genuinely saved. But in the hub, you could write the word me, because your life still revolves around yourself. The spokes are the many facets of your life: social life, work, recreation, family, hobbies, and Jesus. And when at church, you think about Jesus, but when at work, it all revolves around you and playing and home and eating out and hanging out with your friends. Jesus don't want to be just one of the spokes in your life. He wants to be the center. He wants to be the hub. The second kind of Christian listening to me, you could write Jesus in the hub of the wheel. All the many spokes of your life are centered in Him and revolve around Him. If you're watching TV, you ask, what would Jesus do? Would He watch this? Is this okay for me to watch? If you're at work or with friends or in a long line or somebody's trying to pick a fight with you, you stop and think, what would Jesus want me to do? He's the center of your life. To trust in the Lord with all your heart means to acknowledge Him as Lord of every area of your life. It means to acknowledge His word is truth and His way is always the best way. And for us, it's the only way. Let's talk about Moses for a minute. Moses was a man of great faith. He was created for a purpose. His very calling and destiny was to free the Hebrew people from slavery. How did Moses qualify for that calling? When God called him, number one, he was willing to hear what the assignment was. He was willing to listen. Number two, I think this is one of the biggest attributes that qualified Moses to be one of the greatest patriarchs of all time. And also the reason God cannot use many of us today. When God called Moses, he turned aside. He stopped what he was doing. He stopped going his own way. Moses turned aside to the burning bush. He stopped going his own way so he could hear what the Lord had to say. That is so important, y'all. Number three, once he heard the assignment and God got past his insecurities, Moses obeyed. He didn't say, okay, well, let me go home and do this or that first, or Lord, what about my new wife, my children? What about my dream of owning huge flocks and being known as a great whatever? What about my education I worked so hard on? Ooh, I'm talking to somebody. What about the promotion I've been working towards for 5 years? What about my 5-year plan? What about the fact I don't want to go there? No, Moses just obeyed. You aren't usable if you won't obey him. And I am talking to somebody when I say that there's a man listening to my voice right now. And you know that this message is for you. You know, and you need to repent right now. The Lord God says you need to repent on your knees with tears right now. Or there will be serious consequences, he says. You may say, well, I have no ability. Well, the Lord will tell you, that's great. I delight in using men of limited ability because then I get the glory. I'm sure Moses thought, well, I have no authority. Pharaoh won't listen to me. That's fine, Moses. I'll stand beside you because I know how to get Pharaoh to listen. I have no eloquence. I can't talk straight. Well, I created your mouth and I created your tongue and I will fill your mouth. Okay, this is a word for a woman of God who is listening to this program. A woman, you need to listen close. Woman of God, the Lord is speaking to you right now. You have been commanded to preach the gospel, and yet you refuse? You refuse the one who created you? The one who gives breath to your children? The one who prospers your bank account? The one who gave you so many gifts? The Lord says to you today, obey me now in all things. He specifically emphasized you must obey in all things. He is talking about that man in your life, and you know the one. He said, obey me now in all things or forfeit your calling, and I will remove the extra blessings I have blessed you with for your refusal to answer my call. Now, do it now. You have continued to go your own way because you are set on getting your way, and God says no more. He is saying to you, I make the rules, not you. And the Bible says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That means that after 40 years of doing God's will, he had not even aged. He was just as strong and energetic as he was 40 years earlier. You can't get that in the world. You want to talk about acknowledging God in all your ways? Because I was meditating on that scripture this morning, and God showed me some stuff. Acknowledge in this verse comes from a Hebrew word that looks like it would be pronounced yada or yada, but it means to make known or to cause to know. And I said, okay, Lord, what are our ways? The word ways here means along your journey or in your manner, on your pathway. It comes from a root word that means to tread. The Lord showed me our ways are our way of talking. Do you acknowledge him in the way you talk? Our way of dressing. Are you acknowledging God in how you dress? Do you take the care to dress modestly, if you're a female especially, to acknowledge you are his child? Or do you just follow the scanty fashions and dress however you want to attract attention? Come on, church. We're going to talk straight today. What about your way of driving? Do you drive with consideration for others, or do you get out on the busy roads in rush hour and act like you're unsaved, honking and cursing and going into a rage? Do you acknowledge your Lord and Savior in the way you drive? What about your way of treating your spouse? And it doesn't mean just a good spouse. It could be any kind of spouse. If someone saw the way you treat your spouse in private, would they know you're a child of God? Or would they wonder if you were a child of the evil one? Do you acknowledge the Lord your God in the way you treat your spouse every day? In the way you treat your children and your pets? The way you treat your family. The promise of these verses is that he will direct your paths if you are acknowledging him in all your ways. Could this be why so many in the church do not have direction from the Lord? He wants to give you direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Lean not into thine own understanding. This is not just another consideration. Don't compare what God says to what you think or what others say you should do. When God told Abraham to pack up and leave, and he'd tell him on the way where he was going, Abraham didn't say, well, let me think about that. Let me go see what my friends say. No, he packed and he left. He did what God said. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Ask him to reveal his will to you, but depart from evil and start acknowledging him in all your ways if you want him to direct your paths. God will always keep his end of the deal. He always keeps his promises. But some of these require something from us first, like a prerequisite class in school. You have to do this before you can learn that. If you want him to guide you, to direct your paths, to tell you which way to go, then you must reverence him. Depart from evil, stop listening to yourself and all your friends and whoever else, and acknowledge him in all your ways. Everything that you do, in all the ways that you're about, and how you present yourself to the outside world, to your own family, everywhere, should acknowledge that he is your God, and he is the Lord of your life, and he is the Lord over everything you do and how you do it. I don't know how to make that any plainer. God reveals his will as we trust and obey him day by day. He does not drop down from heaven a simple blueprint for our whole life from heaven. As we walk with him, he shows us the way. It's like walking in the dark with a powerful flashlight. As we walk forward a few feet, we see a little further. And as we go a few feet more, we see a little further. Okay? I think Stormy Armardian called it just enough light for the step I'm on. From time to time, God will give you a flash of light that allows you to see miles ahead, but that's uncommon. And usually, the times I've seen that, something really good far in the distance, it was to give me strength for something I was fixing to walk through. But normally, we walk in step-by-step obedience. Okay? God's will is a way of adventure and abundant life. There is nothing more exciting than walking in his will, because he's full of surprises and there are no limits with God. Doing God's will does not mean living a hard and frustrating life. You will go through times that are hard and frustrating if he's trying to get sin out of you or to refine you. God is for us. He is not against us. He wants you to have a life of joy and fulfillment. See John 10:10. Beloved, above all things, I wish that you would prosper and be in health. God wants us to know his will. There is no greater joy than being in the center of his will. God's will matches our gifts and skills with his calling. God gives us new opportunities to do his will. It is another false view to believe that if you have deliberately disobeyed the Lord, you're doomed and can never again be in the center of his will. That's not true. God forgives and he forgets. It is Satan who tries to make you think there is no hope. Throughout biblical history, from King David to the Apostle Peter, men have stumbled and God has lifted them up again and given them a new beginning. Lord God in heaven, we praise you for this word and for guiding us in these perilous times. We praise your name, Lord, and we revere your mighty power. We are human, and we don't always get it right. Like sheep, we need a shepherd to guide us. We need your guidance, Lord, or we will never find the right way down here because we don't know which way to go. We desire to walk in your will, Lord, and to get it right, to honor you with our lives, to acknowledge you in all our ways. We pray now, Lord, that you would help every one of us to depart from any evil in our life of any kind whatsoever, from the smallest thought to the most major action, that you would help us, Lord, to lean only on you, to trust only in your guidance, not in our own small human understanding. And we ask, Lord, that you would make it abundantly clear to us where you want us to be and what you want us to do, each and every one of us. If we don't get it the first time, we ask, Lord, in your infinite mercy, that you would continue sending the same message until we do understand. We know once we understand, it's on us to obey. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory for any and everything in our lives that is good, because we know it's only here because of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening. May God greatly bless you. I hope you have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write the Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
Just how soon will Jesus return? There's a 2,500-year-old prophecy spoken to this generation of Americans that is directly connected to the Second Coming and is happening right now. Learn about it and a whole lot more in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning.